Father God, we do thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, that you are the God of miracles. That miracles are still happening today. Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here and watching us online. And we thank you, Father, that they will fulfill the plan and purpose of God that you have for them. Father God, we thank you today as we go to study your word, that your word will not return void. But Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And we thank you, Father, that we'll take the word that springs forth life on the inside of us, and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. We thank you, Father, for revival to this generation. We thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. But Father God, we thank you tonight that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you for that anointing that's here, that anointing that saturates us, that anointing that changes us, that anointing that sets us free. Father God, we also thank you for Mom and Dad and the Crusade team there in Arkansas. We thank you for the healing anointing to be present there tonight. We thank you for many lives being changed, being touched. And we thank you, Father, for protecting them as they travel home tonight. And we thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing, both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Amen. God's good. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight, the title of my message, I don't always have titles, but I do tonight. It's called Preparing for the Storm. And the reason I got that was because I've been watching the news and seeing people preparing for a great, you know, hurricane coming toward North Carolina and other states around that area. And we do need to be praying for those folks. They're talking about this might be the largest storm ever to hit the U.S. And so even more devastating than Katrina. So we need to be praying for them, praying for their safety. Amen. You watch these people and they're getting ready for the storm. I mean, you know, some of them are boarding their houses up. Some of them obviously have already evacuated. Many of them are going, you know, to buy stuff because they said they'll be without electricity for days. So they're buying water. And it's funny because one of our Facebook friends, they took a picture of the water aisle. There's no water. Picture of the bread aisle. There's no bread. Picture of the potato chip aisle. And it was mostly gone, but there were a few potato chips that were still left. And said, the great thing about Florence here, it actually shows the grocers what potato chips nobody will buy, even when it's a life or death situation. So obviously, hopefully, that the makers of some of those potato chips hopefully someone buys them because it's going to look pretty bad whenever, you know, all they have is pop chips. And so nobody buys pop chips, I guess. I don't know. You know, they're preparing for the storm. I know when I was a kid, you know, of course, around here we have, tornadoes. And so we used to do tornado drills at our school, as well as fire drills, too. You know, we would get prepared. In fact, now one time they said, no, we're going to have a kind of like a tornado drill, but it's actually an air raid drill. See, at that time we were afraid the Russians were going to attack us. Now today we're still afraid the Russians are going to attack us. But, you know, back then it was they're going to drop a bomb on us, but you know, now they just get online and attack us, and so it's no big deal. The Russians are the same, still attacking you, I guess. I don't know. I would always think, you know, why, how in the world is anyone going to make it to Oklahoma? They're going to fly an airplane and you come and drop a bomb on Oklahoma. And why? Why would you drop a bomb on Oklahoma? I mean, what are you going to do, kill a few cows and stuff? And, you know, but, you know, actually, I had this theory that nobody cared about Oklahoma. No one's going to, you know, we're not going to really fall any, you know, you'd see terrorism all over the place. And then one day in April, I woke up and saw a building on fire in Oklahoma City and thought, that's only a few miles away from Tulsa. You know, and thinking, well, I guess people will attack anywhere. And that's when we have to always be on guard. But, you know, a lot of times we prepare naturally for storms, but are you prepared spiritually for a storm? Are you ready when the devil attacks? Because, you know, you have to be ready. And unlike a hurricane, you know, these guys have had like a week to prepare. As the storm builds out there, they have a week. But, you know, a lot of times when the devil attacks, you don't have a week to prepare. You know, that's the thing about tornadoes. I mean, you don't necessarily have a long time to prepare. Now, sometimes, I mean, you know, here recently, they've been able to find, they said, well, the weather pattern is really good for a tornado, so, you know, sometimes you have time to prepare. Now, an earthquake, you just don't know. All of a sudden, things start shaking, and you just don't know, you know, you're not really prepared. But a lot of us are not prepared spiritually, because a lot of us have the mentality that the disciples had in Mark chapter 4, and all of you have you know this, Mark chapter 4, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, verse number 35 says this, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up, high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. What was Jesus doing? Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we are going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They ask each other, even the wind and the waves obey him. Now, interesting part about it, remember the whole story starts out, Jesus said, let us go to the other side. When Jesus speaks, it happens. All right, I don't know if any of you guys remember E.F. Hutton back in when I was younger. They would say when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. I'm not sure he quit talking, I guess, or maybe he died. I don't know. But when Jesus speaks, things happen. He said, let's go to the other side, and he went to sleep. See, he wasn't worried about any winds in any way. It's because he wasn't looking at him. Now, see, the disciples, shouldn't have been worried because Jesus was in their boats. They figured as long as Jesus is in the boat, we're okay. But all of a sudden, the winds and the waves came. And they're probably thinking to themselves, how's this happening? Jesus is in our boat. How, we're going to perish anyway. Maybe it's because he's sleeping. Let's wake him up. And they woke him up, Jesus got mad at him. Why'd you wake me up? Don't you have any faith? See, a lot of Christians have the mentality, well, I have Jesus with me, so no storms are going to come. See, the disciples, they weren't ready for any storm because they didn't figure a storm would come. But I don't care if Jesus is in your boat or not. You're going to have storms. Storms will come. I'm here to tell you tonight, storms are going to come. All right? You might have a hurricane of your own life sometimes. And unlike that, CNN is not going to do a news story about you. I know they lie anyway half the time on their news stories. Anyway, they're fake news according to what the president says. But you're not going to get the Weather Channel come out and talk to you when you're having a storm in your own life. In fact, probably the only people who's going to really care is a few of your friends, maybe a few fake friends you have on Facebook. They might care about your storm, but nobody else is going to really care. It doesn't matter that Jesus is in your boat, storms are going to arise. And of course, we all know Craig's favorite scripture, John chapter 10, verse number 10. Not really my favorite scripture, it's the one I read a lot. The New Living Translation says this, the thief's purpose, his purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have more abundantly. Or NLT says my purpose, his purpose. And so you understand, Jesus told us 2,000 years ago, expect a storm. I mean, to be stolen from, to be killed and destroyed, those are all storms. All right, so we should expect the devil to attack. So what are we going to do about it? We need to prepare. We need to be ready. Now, sometimes too, it's interesting part about life. Just yesterday was the 17th anniversary of 9/11. And it's interesting how after 9/11, that we as America and the world begin to take more precautions to not have that happen again. And you'll know that every time you go to the airport, now you have to take off half your clothes in order to go through security or whatever, and all the stuff. And every time I'd come back, you're redressing. And I'm putting my belt on, I'm putting this on. I'm like, this is for the birth. I think I'm going to get that pre-check thing because I'm just tired of taking off everything to go through this stupid line. Not have to, pull everything out of my bag. I'm glad I'm not a woman. I mean, you guys have all kinds of liquids, you know, I'm sure. So you got to pull all that stuff out. In fact, I was coming through London, and at London Airport, they're more strict than they are here. And so you know, they had basically people announcing all, you know, what to do, what not to do, and blah, blah, blah. And so for whatever reason, my bag flunked the thing, although I didn't have anything wrong with it. I just have too much stuff in my backpack, and so they couldn't see all the stuff. But I had to wait for this other woman who had, I mean, the guy pulled out and kept pulling out liquids, because he said, can't you read? Can't you see the signs? I mean, and he said, well, in America, we don't have to take this out. He goes, but you're not in America. You know, he says, in fact, the guy even, he talked about him. He didn't think that our security was as good as their security. But interesting part about it, they had a bomb go off like a week before. So you know, maybe ours is better than theirs. I don't know, but this guy was, you know, pretty mean to this lady. And she's like, well, I'm not used to all this stuff or whatever. And stuff. And so she was griping at him. He was griping at her. And so then they got to my bag, and they couldn't find anything wrong. And, you know, he's thinking I'm going to gripe at him for, you know, for pulling my bag aside. I thanked him and said, you know what? I don't want to be blown up, so I'm glad that you guys are, you know, are checking out everything, you know, because it's pretty important. I mean, I don't want things to happen like happened in 9/11. You know, what's interesting about it, you know, in the spiritual world, a lot of times we have things happen to our life, storms happen to our life, and we don't take precautions so it doesn't happen again. That's called foolishness. Now, just like, you know, naturally, some of you, you know about my battle with my kidneys, and I had an episode 2 years ago, and then went to a remission, then it came back this year. Now, the reason it came back is because they said I've been highly stressed and you know, and didn't take care of me. I was basically burning not resting, not doing. Now, but see, they never told me that I needed to do that. If they would have told me that I needed to take more precautions, I would have made sure I didn't get to that point. But now I know, so I'm not going to get to that point again. And hopefully, you know, pretty soon you're going to see me lose a lot of weight. Tomorrow I go and it should be in remission the way things look. And they're taking me off of medication. Last time I came off medication, I lost about 40 pounds. So praise God, you know. So you know, I'm tired of being literally Puff Daddy, you know. You know, my medications make me more puffy than I am. I'm a big guy anyway, and, you know, probably need to lose more than 40 pounds. But, you know, praise God. God is good. But we need to be prepared for the storms of life. Now, so over in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks to the church in Ephesus, and he tells them how to be prepared. He tells them what they need to do. Because we never know. The devil might attack us at any point in time. But this was, you know, he says for Ephesians 6:10, Paul speaking, he says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So, you know, a lot of the time we have to overlook that first part. But you know what? We need to be strong. Why? Because we're in the Lord. And he's mighty and powerful. Not that we're mighty and powerful. You know, he said, you know, put your faith in God. You should trust in God. All right. Then he goes on to say, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the, as I'm reading from the New Living Translation, all strategies of the devil. All right. Now, here's the thing about it is, he tells us to put the armor on, but he never tells you to take it off. Amen. See, a lot of times I think that, you know, you guys think you're at an airport. You put the armor on and then you take it off. Okay, you don't have to go through security. You don't have to worry about all this. You can leave the armor on all the time. You can sleep in your armor. Because, see, Paul is telling you, you need to be ready at all times. You know, it's kind of like, you know, there's a verse there, to be ready in season, out of season. We take that for being ready to preach or being ready. But you need to be ready for the devil to attack in season, out of season. Doesn't matter. He'll attack because he's the devil. He's mean. He's there to steal, to kill, destroy. And when you least suspect it, he'll attack you. Now, a lot of times, the interesting part about it is, you know, my grandfather has talked about we need to be devil conscious. We need to be conscious of the devil. You know, a lot of times it takes him attacking us three times before he realizes he's even attacking us. You know, a lot of times, you know, it seems, you know, when he first attacks, you know, sometimes, you know, it happens like from a physical situation, you know, you go and you start having some sniffles. You know, no big deal. You don't do anything about it. Next thing you know, you're kind of not feeling really good. Next thing you know, you're in bed with 105 degrees. Not maybe 102 degrees. Let's go down a little bit lower to 100. 105, you probably need to be in the hospital. 102 degree fever, sniffling, snorting, you know, congested, all that. And you're like, oh, I guess the devil's attacking me. But he started attacking with his little sniffles. But you didn't do anything about it. You ignored it. You know, the Bible doesn't say, ignore the devil, he'll flee from you. And I think a lot of Christians think, well, you know, I can ignore it because Jesus, he's in my boat, so I can ignore the devil. Look what happened to the disciples. They ignored the devil. And you know, now here's the situation. You realize the disciples were going to make it to the other side, even with the winds and waves. Why? Because Jesus said so. It's like Simon says, but he's more important than Simon. I don't even know who Simon is, except for the guy in American Idol that used to be a judge, and actually my favorite judge, actually. He was actually the only one that would tell the truth. Everybody else says, oh, that was great, you know, that was awesome. Simon said, you know, that stunk. You should be at home singing nursery rhymes to your kids. I mean, you know, that's, you know, and he was a truthful one. You know, it's a, you know, I feel bad. Sometimes we have to be truthful. I mean, I used to be one of the people who tried out to write my singers in a band, you know, and some people just can't sing and nobody want to tell them they can't sing. You know, I just, you know, but sometimes someone needs to tell them, you know, because they need to quit hurting people's ears at their own church, you know. We weren't that mean, but, you know, sometimes you wanted to be. You're like, who told you you could sing? Well, they lied. Anyway, back to the scripture here. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Now, here's the thing. A few years ago, people were trying to figure out which is the most important. You know, they're trying to put it all in all. Is it the worst to the best or the best? Who cares? It's all the devil. Why does it matter? We're fighting against all of them. You don't have to rank them. It doesn't really matter. All that does matter is who's on your side. All that matters is if God be for you, who cares that who's what? I don't care. You don't have to rank them anyway. It doesn't really matter. I don't need to rank the devil. All right, I know he's defeated. If I want to rank him, I just say he's a loser, and he has horns, so he's a double loser. See, you know. So anyway, remember the devil's a loser, and God's a winner, and God's with you. All right, it's pretty easy. You should have learned this in children's church. But I think some of you did, but you forgot over the years. Maybe we should be like kids, because kids don't worry about a lot. You say, well, they don't have a lot to worry about. But neither do you, because you have God. You have the greater one on the inside of you. What do you have to worry about? You don't have anything to worry about if you cast your cares upon him. Anyway, it goes on to say, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. So see, he's saying, you know, so you're ready to stand. You're ready to fight at all times. But you got to put the armor on. Then he talks about, he said, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. So you have the belt of truth because the truth will set you free, the Bible says. Amen. And New Living says, and the body armor of God's righteousness. You know, the King James says the breastplate, but now we wear body armor. And some of you wear, you wear Under Armour and all kinds of armor. But anyway, but you know, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We were made righteous. Because, see, the devil lied to us to tell us we weren't. That we've messed up too bad, that we can't make it anymore, but we're always righteous. Because Jesus paid a price for our righteousness. Amen. We have been made righteous. All right? It says, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from good news so that you will be able to be fully prepared. Now, understand, it says, you know, whenever you put on the shoes of peace, that means everywhere you walk, you have peace. You don't have to say peace, be still, because you walk in peace. I understand the Bible says that you, if you have the armor on, you're walking in peace. So if there's a little turmoil in some room in your house, then go walk in. According to the Bible, if the armor of God's on, You walk in peace. You come in peace. Now, many people don't realize that because they've taken their peace shoes off a long time ago. And peace shoes are a lot better than Air Jordans. They're better than Kobe's. You know, they're way better than Kevin Durant's shoes. I mean, you know, no one cares about those shoes anymore. Everyone in Oklahoma already burnt their Kevin Durant shoes a long time ago. Even though Kevin Durant, he's a nice guy. He just went to a bad team. I mean, they're a good team, but, you know, he makes them bad. Just because he betrayed Oklahoma, that's the only way where I'm at. You know, it doesn't matter that he gave $1 million. A lot of athletes, they didn't give money. They go perform, they go whatever, so, you know, to make money. Kevin Durant pulled out $1 million and gave it to the city of Moore for the hurricane, for the tornado relief. I mean, you know, he is a really nice guy. He just betrayed the Oklahoma, you know, the OKC Thunder whenever they needed him most because he couldn't win a ring with us, so he just decided to go to the other team where they are going to wear one even without him. They would have won anyway. Anyway, it goes on to say, in addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery darts of the devil. The devil's going to keep shooting darts at you. All right, and they're not like the Nerf darts. All right, well, they are if you know who you are in Christ Jesus and you have faith, and they become like Nerf darts so that they can't hurt you. Although if you ever get hit in the eye with a Nerf dart, it can hurt you because, you know, it can, you know, poke your eye and scratch your eye, scratch your cornea because somebody happened at my house. It wasn't me. Well, I was firing the darts, but I wasn't the one taking the, you know, so moral story, wear goggles when you want to play Nerf darts at your house. To keep someone's cornea from being messed up. It wasn't my fault. He happened to walk in front of my darts. I mean, you know. But the devil doesn't fire Nerf darts. He fires fatal blows. But they're only fatal if you don't have the shield of faith. See, it doesn't matter. You know, the Bible says that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. Now, many people don't realize it doesn't say that no weapon will not be formed against us. It says they're going to come. Weapons are on their way. All right, and we have to understand that weapons are going to be fired at you, and sometimes you're going to, I mean, I felt many times like I've had the atom bomb dropped on me. But see, the weapons are only going to do something, you know, if you let them. Because the devil has no right, and he has no authority to attack me. Because I know what my right is. I know the Bible says that all things are possible. All things are possible. It says only believe. Only believe. You know, my faith is not in what the devil is trying to attack me with. My faith is in God. In God I trust. And I'm going to make it regardless of what he's going to shoot at me. Whether it seems like, you know, it doesn't matter what he shoots. It doesn't matter, you know, like I said, if God be for you, who cares who's against you? Doesn't really matter. See, what happens is that we start looking at what's coming at us. And that was the disciples' problem. They start looking at the waves and the wind and, you know, and the water coming in the boat. You know, it's not a good thing to have water in your boat. All right? I mean, you know, that's not how most boats are made. So get it out of the boat. Just take a bucket and start throwing it back out. You know, the thing is that attack is going to come. But where's your faith? What do you believe? What do you believe? See, you know, that's my next point here. It says, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, I understand that we have to know what the word says. Now, when Jesus was tempted, he always fought back with the word. He kept saying, "For it is written." Every time. Now, he did that for example for us. You know, in I don't know how many times that I've been there and been attacked, and I tell the devil what's written. I quote scriptures to the devil all the time. Why? Because, you know, that's the way I learned. My grandfather always said he was a stickler for the word. What does the word of God say? God says it, I believe, and that settles it for me. Now, the biggest point and problem is we don't know what the word says. You know, and it isn't really a problem to this generation. A lot of times people know what Brother So-and-so says in a book. You know, they know what the book says, but they don't know what the word says. You know, and it's not about what Brother So-and-so says, not what your mom says or your dad says or your brother says or your roommate or anybody else says, because, you know, they might as well be Simon. Who cares? All right, what matters is, what does God's word say? What does God's word say? Well, God's word says that you're victorious through Christ Jesus. God's word says that you're the head and not the tail. He says you're above and not beneath. It says that you're going to make it. You are going to make it. You know, it's going to be okay. Now, see, you have to be able to tell yourself in the middle of the storm, you're going to make it. It's going to be okay. Now, one day at Winter Bible Seminar, one of our graduates was here, and I knew the story because I was actually at his church, when I went to go visit his church, he was the associate pastor of his church, all right, Raymond Grad. But I went to speak at their camp meeting. All right, I think it was on a Thursday night. Well, on Wednesday night, they announced the pastor was retiring and the associate pastor was going to be the pastor of the church. Now, you think everyone would be happy about it, but some people weren't. All right. This guy was, obviously he had been there for 40 years or whatever, older pastor, and his protege was a young man. And a lot of people didn't really like that he appointed a young man to take over and blah, 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 and stuff like that. And so, so I asked him, a few months later, about a year later, he came to Winter Bible Seminar. I said, how are things going at the church? You know, everything going okay? And he said, Craig, honestly, he went through all kinds of stuff. They financially, they've gone down. They've had all kinds of issues. I just looked at him and I just said, it'll all be okay. You're going to make it. Now, I didn't say that because it was thus saith the Lord. I know what the word of God says. And so I was just trying to give him some, just helping him out. This guy took what I said, and every day he kept saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Fast forward 2 years later, I see him at Winter Bible Seminar and ask him how everything's going. He says, everything's awesome. Says, the church is fully paid off. We burned the mortgage, couple months ago, and all kinds of things happened. Just incredible things took place in that church. I said, everything's going awesome. And he says, I really owe it to you because you're the one that said everything's going to be okay, and I believed it. I kind of thought to myself, I didn't get a word for the guy. I just gave him what the word says. And that's the deal. Come down to it. A lot of us were waiting for a word. We're waiting for Brother So-and-so, to call you out and bring you down here and pray for you, knock you on the ground, do all kinds of stuff, then kick you while you're down or whatever he's going to do, spit on you and slobber all over you, whatever the guy does, and everything's going to be okay. But it's not. If we'll take what the word of God says, if we'll just be a doer of God's word, that's kind of one of the scriptures here. See, a lot of people can quote it, but not too many people do it. It should be like Nike, just do it. Just don't hire some people that are stupid. But anyway, you do the word. You just act like the word's true. Because it is. And you're going to make it. You're going to get through the storm. But you got to be ready for it. See, you always got to be conscious that the devil's out there to try to take you out, to try to destroy you. And it seems that whenever you're going through life and everything seems awesome, the devil's hiding around the corner. He's hiding around the corner. He's playing hide and go seek. Now, see, the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You've read that, right? Now, first of all, you have to resist him. But it does not say he might flee today, but he'll come back and try to come. He'll try to come back, I should say that way. Because the Bible says he's also seeking who he may devour. And the key word is the may part. He may. I'm not talking about the month of May. All right. I'm talking about he's trying to find out who doesn't know their rights in Christ. Who doesn't have the armor on? You know, I don't care if you have armor all, but you need to have armor on. A lot of people have armor all. They have their armor. You know, maybe they took their armor off and they got it all shiny with their armor all, but ain't going to do you any good. You got to have your armor on. And you go out to battle. And the Bible says, having done all to stand, we keep standing. It doesn't say ever to retreat. We keep standing in the middle of the storm. As long as you'll stand in the middle of the storm, you understand you stand grounded on God's word. The devil is not going to move you. All right, see, but too many times, you know, we think the devil's like the big bag wolf. You know, he's huffing and puffing and blowing your house down. But whenever you have the armor on, whenever you're standing behind the brick house of God, when you're standing on the rock, he can huff and puff and blow all he wants. But nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. And see, you need to have the mentality of the three little pigs in the brick house. That's the mentality. You see, well, a lot of times what happens is we lose because it's our mentality. Our thinking is that it's not going to go well. Because I went to the doctor and the doctor says, I don't care what the doctor says. Amen. Yeah, but the doctor, he knows more than you. I get that, but he doesn't know more than God. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't go to a doctor. I believe in going to a doctor. I believe that every Christian should go to a doctor, find out what's wrong with them, so they know what to believe. And in fact, when I'm going to situations or I'm with other people in the situation, I always ask the doctor, okay, all right, doctor, well, what do we need to happen here? You know, like with my kidney situation, what do I need? What kind of numbers do I need? What, where am I looking for? I mean, at what point is it in remission? I mean, how is this going to happen? And all these kind of things, you know, and I want to keep track and know what to do, know what to believe God for. The same way, if you're going through some situations, go to the doctor, find out what's wrong with you so you can target your prayers. Now, many people only start praying when the storm comes. I guarantee you, there are people in North Carolina now on their knees. They hadn't prayed in years. I mean, you know, I'm joking about it, but I'm serious. I guarantee you, there's people who hadn't talked to God in years. You know, they might be in church tonight because they haven't gone to church in years. Interesting part about it, you're talking about 9/11. You realize that 9/12 was on a Wednesday night. All right. That was one of the only Wednesday nights that I remember that we had almost a complete balcony full. Because people were scared. People were afraid. People were, you know, now it's time to come for comfort. I mean, they're you know, okay, I'm all about God now. It's interesting, you know, how right after that happened, how America pulled together and it wasn't Democrat, Republicans, Independent. It was everyone together. You know, we're all together, you know, one nation under God, how God was important, but year after year, it started diminishing. You know, it started diminishing and, you know, it's just and you know, now we reached a generation, understand, 17 years ago. So that means, you know, that if you're 18 years old, you're only 1 year old. I mean, so a lot of our incoming students, you know, were just babies. So they don't remember. And when you know, there's one thing about seeing it when it happens, another thing about seeing, you know, documentaries and things like that, you know, good thing we have that kind of stuff, but it means a whole lot more when you've seen it live or you're seeing it. I mean, most people probably know where you were 9/11. A lot of you are probably at work. I was at home getting ready to travel to Miami, Florida, you know, for a ministry trip. And, you know, I get a call from Rich King, you know, because he went with me. He goes, hey, did you see the news? I mean, you know, some plane flew into the World Trade Center. So I'm thinking some small plane, obviously. So I go turn my TV on while I'm still packing. You know, I didn't ever, you know, then all of a sudden I watched the second plane hit, you know, and all the stuff going on. You know, it's right there. And actually, the interesting part about it, I'm at the same place that I was whenever in Oklahoma City bombing went off, I was in the same house, the same location, doing the same thing, packing, getting ready to go on a trip. You know, and here's the thing. I watch all this stuff happen. I'm still packing because I never thought that they'd close the airport. Now, my people are like, I'm never going to fly. I mean, I watch, you know, I'm thinking, I got to go to Miami. I don't know. I mean, you know, it kind of comes as a shock to me when Rich called. And at that time, we didn't have our own plane at the time. If we did, it wasn't available. And so, it was available. We couldn't fly anywhere. We couldn't fly in our own plane. We had a ticket on United Airlines. And, you know, Rich goes, hey, we're not flying to Miami. I'm like, why not? I mean, we got to go. We got to plan all this stuff out. So, so it was like 2 months before we go to Miami. Now, you know what was also pretty cool about this thing? Not cool about 9/11. Show up to Miami and like, everybody else keeps canceling their meetings here. And so we're going to give you a special deal to come. I'm like, oh, great. So we actually got a great deal there in Miami. Because we were doing preparations for a big crusade. And so they were just excited about coming because everybody else, you know, they said, well, everyone else canceled their thing going on. We're like, well, we're not going to cancel. We got a crusade. We don't cancel. God doesn't cancel because of bad things happen. Amen. But, you know, it was a tragedy. And a lot of people don't even, it's not a big deal today. But it is a big deal. And, you know, and so now people think about it once a year on 9/11. But, you know, we need to be prepared. Amen. Prepared in our own life. Prepared that, you know, the devil's there to still kill and destroy. Now, that day he destroyed a lot of lives. You realize almost 3,000 people died that day? They perished, you know, in one shot. And some people say it was God's judgment. It's not God's judgment. It's the devil. Remember, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God comes to bring life. Right. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Right. You know, I mean, he didn't come, you know, Jesus didn't come for the Christian, he came for the sinner. I mean, that's what, you know, that's the whole point. The point is to get the sinner saved. Not to judge them and things like that. But, you know, storms in life are going to come. But we've got to be ready. We got to keep the armor on. Don't pull the armor off. Be ready at all times for the devil to attack. Because he will. He will, but you will get through it. You're going to make it. You don't have to have some special word from some special preacher. I'm here to tell you, you're going to make it. As long as you keep going, you're going to make it. You keep standing, you're going to make it. You're going to get through. You're going to get through any kind of attack that comes your way. Doesn't matter how bad it looks at this moment in time. You know, but this is something that you need to understand. Next time that you get attacked, you're going to make it. You're going to get through. Just believe. Just believe. Paul told the church in Ephesus that just to be ready to fight. We should always be ready. Be prepared for the storm. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here. Father God, we thank you to help us all understand that the devil is on the attack and help us understand, you know what, whatever he tries to do, he's going to fail. That we can make it, we can get through. But we need to prepare ourselves and be ready for his attack and be ready for storms to come. But Father God, we just thank you that you'll just help each and every one of us. Help us to be able to have the mentality that we're going to make it. Have that mentality that it's going to be okay. Have that mentality on the inside. Father, just we thank you that this week that you'll just be there and help every single person that's here and watching us online. We thank you, Father, that you're just helping us through every situation we're going through. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand up. If you're here for your first time, we're glad to have you. Amen. The connection team is going to be in the aisle. They're going to take you to a special place and they're going to give you a gift that we have for you. Amen. You see people on my left and my right. There are men over here, women over there. If you need prayer for anything, if you need salvation, you need a healing, you just need prayer for something, then go and find the appropriate people. If you're a man, you go to see the men. If you're a woman, you see the women. If you don't know what you are, we have ushers that will help you and direct you to whatever area you need. You don't have to direct yourself. Just talk to one of the ushers, and they'll direct you that way. All right, man? Amen. Well, turn around, shake hands with a couple people, tell them they're going to make it, and you're dismissed. We'll see you back here on Sunday morning.